The brackets are set.
Tolik still with it. He'll try a logo three. Good!
Why not? Why not?
You think it can't get better, and it just did.
It's time to talk college hoops.
Wall gets it in. Pepper, fake, drives, layup is good! Overtime!
Broadcasting live from inside the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night.
The game of the day is in the books. Welcome to ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night. Brian D, Alex Strofe hanging out inside the 3rd Street Market Hall. No better place for you to hang and watch the late night games on this NCAA Tournament Thursday than here. Strofe, we just got the game of the day. It was kind of a clunker from like 11 a.m. until right now. Some snooze fests in the NCAA Tournament, yeah. But we finally got a good one.
You're being negative.
What do you mean I'm being negative?
I feel like Duquesne beating up on BYU to kick off the day was fun.
Kind of fun.
Half
but
the
it's
people
Duquesne.
Watching that game didn't know how to pronounce Duquesne. Everybody thought it was Duquesne. And it's Duquesne. They get a big win in an upset fashion. Illinois seemed like they were on the ropes for a moment, Brian, but they ultimately prevail over Morehead State. Then there was a couple snoozers, but you'll get that. But I heard Homer say it before. Homer's right. If there's not that many upsets early, that means we've got more in store in the second slate tonight.
But we did get a phenomenal game just moments ago. The Dayton Flyers coming back from 17 down, Strofe, in the last 7 minutes. They finished the game on a 24-2 run to knock off Nevada. I guess it's not a knockoff, but when you're down 17 in the second half,
yeah, it's a knockoff
of an NCAA tournament game. It's a knockoff.
It's a knockoff if you go on a 17-0 run, which is when I walked into the 3rd Street Market Hall. Look, I mean, that's what it's all about. And what's your Dayton connection? You told me you had a date. Your brother went
there? My brother
went
to Dayton. So I've spent some long nights and early mornings in Dayton, Ohio. In there.
That I'm sure you remember very vividly.
Yeah, they're off-campus housing. I spent my first college Halloween when I wasn't in college at the University of Dayton.
What were you for Halloween that year?
I was a Hawaiian kind of guy. Like, I came unequipped, so I just went like a Hawaiian shirt with a lei. The best costume I saw.
Great.
If you've never been to Dayton, Dayton's college campus is every college campus you've seen in, like, a college comedy movie ever. Like, old school, road trip, whatever it is. Like, that's what Dayton's off-campus housing looks like. And at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning that first Halloween, there was just a kid. It looks like chaos, right? And there's a kid in the corner dressed as a Roman pillar just standing there with girls all around and craziness. It was wild. So I'm always happy to see Dayton find success. But the people listening tonight, they want to know about Marquette and they want to know about Wisconsin. And that is where we are going to start this evening. 800-990-3776 is the phone number for you to get in. Which of those schools do you believe has the better path to the Final Four? Now, Strofe, I have a bone to pick with you.
What'd I do?
So I had a source tell me, and I didn't even hear this.
Oh, here we go.
On ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison. I had a source close to the programs tell me that you called me, quote, the most annoying Marquette fan of the bunch.
Yeah, because, I remember last year, Brian, and things were not going super well for the Wisconsin Badgers in the 2022-2023 season, correct?
That's correct.
Ultimately, a really nice run in the NIT, but it was a rough season overall.
A nice run in the NIT that finished with them incapable of getting a shot off for like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, at least they were still playing in late March, despite it being in the NIT. But nonetheless, I just remember after that Wisconsin won that was a double overtime thriller at Fiserv Forum that you and I were both in attendance for.
Yep.
A couple weeks later, Wisconsin started to fall by the wayside. You went on a Devondre Campbell-esque tweet tirade about the Wisconsin Badgers.
And I don't remember going on a tirade. I just tweet regularly about how much I despise.
I had tweeted something about the Badgers. You know, I just said something like, yeah, they're really up and down, but if they're playing their best ball in February, they're going to make the tournament. They're poised to go on a run. This was last year.
Okay.
You quote tweeted that, and Marquette Twitter came at me harder than I've ever got.
My people.
Gotten eaten alive on Twitter. So I hold that against you.
Okay.
Because I think that Wisconsin does live rent-free in your head a little bit, despite the fact the state of Wisconsin is better when both of these programs are relevant.
Yeah, but that's not
alas this week.
That's so political. Like that's not how
I think
college,
you're the one that makes it political.
That's not how college sports rivalries work.
But is it a rivalry if one team recently especially has dominated said rivalry and they only play once a year. Maybe twice this year if they get to, both teams get to the Elite Eight. I don't think either team will get there. I hope they do. I just don't think either team will get there. I don't know how much of a rivalry this really is. Brian, I'm not an alum of UW like you are, Marquette.
Sure.
However, I grew up in a Badger household. I've always been a Badger fan. But, dude, I have a Tyler Kolek NIL t-shirt now. I cheer for both teams.
I don't know how you came across that. I don't even have one of those.
It was a gift.
Here's why it's interesting this year. It's been interesting particularly for the last 4 days when both of these schools, both of these teams were drawn into the same region in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've got a rematch possibility in the highest leverage moment possible, the Elite Eight on the table. Now, I said this in the take machine on Kyle Breston Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin
Raps
earlier today.
Sandwiches?
That was a good take.
I agree. That is a good take.
But I argued, and I believe this, and I want to have some room and some bandwidth to explain myself here. I think losing tomorrow for Marquette in some ways would hurt less than losing to Wisconsin in the Elite Eight for Marquette fans, because everybody wants to win. I want to be in Phoenix in 2 weekends. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a given. That's of course, right? But to lose that game in a high leverage moment, that's trash talk forever. Like, I would have to hear from Ben Brust every day for the rest of time about how Wisconsin beat Marquette to go to the Final Four. I don't think I could live with that. So, that's, of course, I would love to go to the Elite Eight. I want to win as many games as possible. I want to go to the Final Four for the first time since 2003, for 21 years, right? This Final Four drought can drink if you're a Marquette Golden Eagles fan. That being said, in some ways, it would be easier to lose tomorrow. I don't want that to happen, but it would be easier to swallow than it would be if you were to lose to Wisconsin in the Elite Eight, which is why I'm rooting for that not to happen entirely. I need Wisconsin to lose to James Madison tomorrow, and that's what I have in my bracket.
So not only are you annoying, you're also stupid?
I don't think I'm stupid in saying that.
You think losing to 15th seed Western Kentucky would be better than being alive for the second weekend?
I didn't say better. I said easier to swallow in some ways.
That wouldn't be easier to swallow because the narrative of Shaka can't make it to the second weekend then continues. He hasn't done it since he was the head coach at VCU. It's been a million years since Marquette as a whole has gotten to the second weekend. Losing at the end of the second weekend to Wisconsin would be a little bit more palatable. A team you've already lost to this year, might add, would be a lot more palatable than losing to a 15th seed when you were only playing 4 hours from your home stadium,
so,
Brian.
Let me flip it on you.
If Marquette loses tomorrow,
and they're not going
fire
to.
Shaka.
No,
move
oh,
on from Tyler Kolek.
Stop
that
it with the fire
that
Shaka.
That is the greatest collapse of all time. It's up there. Maybe not quite Virginia UMBC-esque, but it's top five.
So let me flip it on you. If Wisconsin was to go to the Elite Eight and lose to Marquette, and Marquette goes to the Final Four.
They don't belong in the Elite Eight, so yeah, that's great.
Okay, at least you're self-aware.
I'm
right?
incredibly self-aware. Self-awareness is one of the most important human qualities, and that's one thing I'm good at. But
that
I will say this.
That would be devastating to you as a Badgers fan?
No, because like I said earlier, maybe it's because I'm not an alum. Like, maybe this is the entire reason why it would be palatable. I'd say good for Marquette, man. Great for you guys. You're finally getting back to the Final Four after 21 years.
I don't have...
Your Final Four drought can drink.
I don't have that humility to be able to applaud for Wisconsin to go to the Final Four. I would be devastated. And you know what this dates back to is, and I don't mean to bring up a sore subject for Wisconsin fans listening, but when the Badgers played Duke in the national championship game, that infamous national championship game where Coach K complained to the refs at halftime and Grayson Allen came out with his hair on fire and Justice Winslow maybe touched the ball, maybe didn't touch the ball. He touched the ball. Wisconsin ends up losing, right? That morning, we did wall-to-wall coverage of Badgers content from 5 a.m. until tip-off, which I think was like 8 p.m. Central Time. And the radio station gave everybody Badgers red ESPN Wisconsin pullovers to wear that day.
Did you wear
that? I'm a year out of college, right? I'm a part-time producer. And Craig Karmazin, our founder and CEO, was hosting the early morning show that day from 5 to 7 a.m. So I wanted to ingratiate myself to the company. I begrudgingly wear my Cardinal and White ESPN Wisconsin pullover. And the first 10 words out of Craig Harmonson's mouth were, "Why are you wearing that? You're a Marquette guy, right?" So from that moment on, I knew this, but I made it my on and off air duty to hate all things University of Wisconsin-Madison. I don't care if the Badgers are playing football, basketball, hockey, chess, cricket, whatever it is, I'm rooting against them, against whoever they're playing.
Well, as I look around the Third Street Market Hall, Brian, I'm not seeing any couches that we could literally lay you down on so we can make this a full-blown therapy session, because there's clearly some deep-rooted trauma between you and Craig Karmazin dating back nine years.
I don't even know it's that. Like, it's in the syllabus at Marquette. Like, when you show up on campus the first day, it's like, here's where your dorm is.
Sure.
Here's the dining halls. Here's how you get around campus.
And here's how you hate Wisconsin.
Turn in all of your Cardinal and white, because if we catch you wearing it, you're going to get expelled. Well, right? Like, that's how it works there.
I'm so proud of you and your growth within our company and here at ESPN Milwaukee, Brian. Now, what's your title? The director of content? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, very good.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, it all dates back to that day in early April of 2015 when Craig Karmazin, our founder and CEO, said, hey, Brian D., here's your backbone, bro.
Yeah.
And here we are, 9 years later. You've come a long way.
Slept like a baby that night after that Badgers loss in Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, despite the annoyance that you provide in the college basketball realm, I'm proud of you. This is good. I'm glad we're digging into this.
So I want to hear from some fans. How would you feel about this if it happened? If we get the rivalry matchup to end all rivalry matchups, Wisconsin versus Marquette in the Elite Eight with a Final Four berth on the line, what are your thoughts going into that? How are you feeling as a fan? I'm nervous and anxious as hell.
Of course.
Now, we've talked about my sadness if they were to lose Marquette. If they were to win, conversely, that's the greatest thing to ever happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's bragging rights for whatever school forever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is the end-all, be-all of the rivalry as long as you and I grace the face of planet Earth, right? I mean, it's not going to get bigger than that unless they eventually meet in a NCAA championship game, which, again, the odds of that incredibly
even more far-fetched.
Correct. But you actually see it in front of you now.
Yes.
Because when I saw the bracket come out on Sunday, as a Wisconsin fan, I said to myself, this is my hell, right? You look at the 2 seed, Marquette. Mm-hmm. You look at the 3 seed, Kentucky. You look at the 4 seed, who they may see on Sunday, the team that beat them 9 years ago in the national championship game. This is the hell bracket. And then, by the way, the top seed is the second-best team in the country
in
Houston. So it really is the hell bracket for the Wisconsin Badgers. But the flip side of that, though, is, Brian, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing their best ball in March.
They are.
They got their groove back. They got their swagger back at the Big Ten tournament last weekend, despite the loss to Illinois, who, by the way, boat raced their opponent, Morehead State, today with a nice second half. They are looking really good. They're looking like the team we saw as a top-10 team in January. They look like the team that put a really nice smackdown on Marquette at the Kohl Center back in early December when you and I were hanging out at the Echo Tap in Madison. So when I think back throughout this Badger season, it feels like, okay, 5 seed, they could be sneaky, but also their opponent in the first round is sneaky.
Yep.
I just hope we get the Elite Eight matchup. I just think it's really unlikely.
Let's break down the paths for Marquette and Wisconsin and where they stand on the other side. This is ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night, live from the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. If you need a place to watch the game tonight, come on out. Tomorrow, the place to watch the game, believe it or not, is Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Marquette tips off at 1 o'clock. 7 p.m., we've got maybe the event of the year in Milwaukee, Thanalysis Live, featuring Giannis Antetokounmpo and Thanasis Antetokounmpo. They're doing a live podcast of Thanasis's podcast, Thanalysis, at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Tickets are on sale right now at TALiveShow.com. That's TALiveShow.com. You can text the word live to the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Buy your tickets right now. It's $43 to get up close and personal with arguably the greatest basketball player to ever do it, and certainly the best to do it in the state of Wisconsin. Giannis, Thanasis, Thanalysis Live, tomorrow night, Pottawatomie at 7 o'clock. And then roll right there over to the bars and the casino at Pottawatomie and watch the Badger game as well. Going to be an awesome night inside Pato and inside the city of Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin. Badgers path, Marquette path. Who's got a cleaner path to the Final Four? We'll break it down on the other side. This is ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN in Madison, and in ESPN Beaver Dam.
We're back with more ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night after this on ESPN Wisconsin. You're listening to Is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night, live from inside the 3rd Street Market Hall on ESPN Wisconsin.
Attention!
easier path to the Final Four, Marquette or Wisconsin? They may have to go through each other. Welcome back into the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, and welcome back into ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night. Brian Z and Alex Strofe hanging out with you, getting ready for the evening games on night one of the NCAA tournament. All right, Strofe, let's take a look at the bracket here, because Wisconsin and Marquette both play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think we're both expecting them to win their first-round games. Marquette against a very fast and talented Western Kentucky team,
yes,
but a team that tends to turn the ball over because of their speed.
So go to the other one, because I'm curious. You expect Wisconsin to beat James Madison?
So this is an interesting 5-12. James Madison is 31-3 this year.
The most wins in the tournament.
They beat Michigan State in their first game of the season before anybody really knew what to expect.
Correct.
And it's so hard to put stock in anything that happened in the month of November, right? It's really difficult to say, oh, yeah, remember that thing that happened 4 months ago in college basketball?
Correct.
It's really applicable in late March. Hard to do that. James Madison, they get up and down. They can score, but they haven't played a team, I think, as talented as Wisconsin. And then you talked about it in our first segment. The Badgers are arguably playing their best basketball of the year right now, and I think a lot of it is because of A.J. Storr.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think when you have an offensive flamethrower that the Badgers so desperately lacked a year ago, it's a huge add. But then you look at a guy like Stephen Crowell, they're big. If he scores in the double figures, the Badgers win. If he disappears and doesn't score in the double figures, the Badgers lose. That's been the theme of the last 2 months for that team. To boil it down to one statistic, it's whether or not Stephen Crowell scores the basketball. So otherwise, yeah, they're playing their best ball, but it seems like the public loves James Madison tomorrow, Brian. So I am shocked that the Badgers' biggest hater on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee feels like they'll win.
Well, that would just be an abject failure for Greg Garden program.
I agree.
After, you know, getting on a hot run and getting all the way to the Big Ten championship game last week, it's unacceptable for something like that to happen. So let's just assume, for the purposes of this segment, that both teams win.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin would theoretically get Duke, and they're going up against a really interesting Vermont team. Vermont's always pretty competitive as well.
For sure.
But it would be Wisconsin, Duke, and Marquette likely versus Florida?
I would guess Colorado's going to win that.
You think so?
Yeah, look, I Florida is weird to me because they lost in the SEC championship game, but they also lost their big man, Micah. How do you say that? Handlockton, I think his last
that
name
is. That is correct.
All I know is I heard his leg snap on national television.
Yeah, and I didn't watch that. I didn't listen to that. I read that
you
in the weak, article.
You have a weak stomach?
Yeah, I don't
watch
do well
it.
With that
don't
kind
watch
of thing.
It.
Yeah,
don't
I'm not
watch
do that.
It's not quite Kevin Ware-esque back the Louisville days, but it was not pretty.
Not for me.
It was the audio version of that was not pretty. Nonetheless, leading rebounder, they lose a big part of that. And I think there is a case to be made, Brian, in the NCAA tournament, especially for these 10 seeds that have the play-in game.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of rolling.
You get hot, right?
Colorado gets a big win last night. Can they roll that against Florida? So I would probably lean Colorado Marquette. Nonetheless, I think Marquette takes care of business in the second round. I think Marquette's breaking the curse, buddy. I think they're getting to the second weekend.
Going to the second weekend for the first time since 2013. And you never want to call anything easy in the NCAA
no.
tournament. Nothing's a gimme, right? But Western Kentucky and Colorado, if you would have told me in early November that Marquette's first two NCAA tournament games were going to be Western Kentucky and Colorado, I'm signing up immediately.
You're thinking one seed or two seeds.
Yes, exactly.
And that's
exactly what we've got. Beyond that, let's stick with Marquette before we go back to the Badgers. That would theoretically set up, in my opinion, what might be the game of the tournament between Marquette and Kentucky, because Kentucky is arguably the top offensive team in the country, but they can't defend worth a lick, and Marquette can run with a team like that and also defend. I think that would be a whale of a basketball game with an Elite Eight berth on the line, and whatever happens in that game, you kind of take and go, this is as good as it gets when it comes to college basketball. That's what I'm rooting for on weekend two of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, going to give you top dollar analysis here, Brian. Kentucky is young, but they're really well coached.
Yeah.
Shocker, right? I mean, you've never heard that one before,
have
you?
That's what they do.
But, I mean, look, the thing with Marquette, and I heard you and Gabe Neitzel talking about this during your Selection Sunday show on St. Patrick's Day, St. Brackett's Day, whatever you want to call it. As long as Marquette doesn't get killed versus the teams when it comes to the offensive boards,
correct,
right? If the team is not smashing the offensive boards, They're one of the best teams in the country. They proved it throughout the season. They get to the Big East championship game, which, by the way, the Big East got screwed in this tournament. That's a total beside the
sidebar.
Point. Yes. But one of the best conferences in the year, you roll your way without your best player to the Big East championship game where you get killed by the by far best team in the country.
It's not close.
It's not close, and it hasn't been close. I know you said games don't matter in November. We knew in November nobody was on the level of UConn. That remains the fact in late March.
They've only gotten stronger, too.
Correct. Yeah, they're really, really darn good. But nonetheless, Marquette is a really good basketball team in a tournament that is filled with a bunch of meh. There are only a few teams I can look at and be like, yeah, that's a really good basketball team. Marquette falls into that category. So they should roll. If they get Kentucky, though, I think you're totally right. When it comes to John Calipari, that guy knows how to win in the month of March. Multiple national championships. Has been back to the Final Four time and time again with young crews and stud freshmen. And here he is again in 2024 with a three seed in that stacked region. I want that matchup so bad. I want it worse than I want Wisconsin-Duke in the second round on Sunday.
It would be an absolute track meet. The coaching would be chaotic with Shaka and Cal being
Shaka in his crab position that he loves to do, right? Like he squats in his khakis and he looks like a little crab.
They're
I love
two
that.
Of the most vocal, demonstrative, theatrical coaches that you see on the sideline in college basketball. And to get that in an absolute track meet with an Elite Eight berth on the line would be absolutely phenomenal next Friday night. Shifting gears to Wisconsin, if they were able to beat Duke, it's probably Houston, right? And that feels
it's not happening.
Insurmountable for the Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, you play the game for a reason. Anything could happen in March. We've seen crazier upsets than a 5 over a 1. But I just mentioned it. There's few very good teams in this tournament. It's UConn, spacebar, Houston, Tennessee, Purdue, Marquette, UNC, big spacebar, everybody else. Right, like that's kind of how I view the field this year. I might
fair.
Be missing a team or two in there. But Houston is unbelievable, and they have proven it all year long. Now, they come off the Big 12 championship loss to Iowa State, who's also a really good team who I missed there. But, yeah, it's not happening. It's not happening. I mean, did you read – now I'm going to take our – you mind if I take us off the rails for a moment?
Please do.
Did you read the phallic Reddit post that came out this week? About the phallic team names of one every year, St. Peter's, Fairleigh Dickinson.
Nope, sure didn't.
Houston playing 16-seeded Longwood here in the first round. So, I mean, anything's possible. It seems to happen the last 3 years. A phallic nickname is one in the first round.
Of course, Alex Strofe has absolutely derailed us halfway through.
Sorry, I knew I asked if I could do it.
Nah, and I approved, and here we are.
Coming up, that's a good program director right there.
Coming up next, Chris Johnson, you
can't
hear him
this.
On Hear District on Bucks Plus. He's also one of the better college basketball analysts you can find anywhere. He's going to join us next to break down all things NCAA tournament. Chris Johnson, Hear District, Bucks Plus, college basketball. He's coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night, live from the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee on 94.5 ESPN.
More ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night coming up on ESPN Wisconsin. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night, live from inside the 3rd Street Market Hall on ESPN Wisconsin.
Every second passing is a second closer to Marquette and Wisconsin in the NCAA tournaments. Welcome back into the 3rd Street Market Hall on a Thursday evening, and welcome back into ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night. Joining us now, you can hear him on the Hear District podcast as a part of Bucks Plus, and he covers college basketball as close as anybody on the West Coast and nationwide. He's our buddy Chris Johnson. KJ, thanks for jumping on, man. I want to start with Marquette and Wisconsin, because since the moment the bracket was released, everybody in our state went, uh-oh, we could be staring down a rivalry game in the Elite Eight. If it came down to it, which one of these basketball teams do you think would win that game as you've watched them grow and compete all season long?
Well, first of all, Brian, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to see y'all again. When you talk about Marquette and Wisconsin, obviously you guys have that in-state interest, right? But when I look at it from a national perspective, I'm breaking down the guys, the teams, and how they've been playing recently. A game like that would you know, be out of control, because for me, I feel like Wisconsin, their guards right now are playing some really good basketball. Whether it be Hepburn, Storr, you got Blackwell coming off the bench, you got McGee, who's also adding some things as well. In the tournament, guard play is paramount, okay? It takes guys that can guard, that know how to get downhill, that create two-on-ones, mismatches all the time, and know how to kick it and find the open shooters, and the guys that can knock down the shots are the guys that are going to win. With Marquette, I love Cam Jones to death. He's one of the most talented guards, I think, bar none, in America. Has a lot of pro potential with his ability to create space and just get buckets. Plus 30-point games this year. But it's the other guys, Stevie Mitchell. It's the other guys, the big fella. I believe it's Joplin and it's Iguodaro and all those guys that need Tyler Kolek. They need Kolek, though. If you know, what I noticed in watching games of Marquette in the Big East tournament versus when they had their point guard, their maestro out there serving it up, the supporting cast, if you will, look like completely different guys.
Totally.
So Kolek makes everybody else a lot better. He knows where Iguodaro wants that lob. He gets off that rock very quickly, and that's the difference between him and Cam Jones running the point. Kolek's getting off the ball. The flow, the rhythm of the offense looks totally different. All that being said, man, I think both of these teams will play in the regional final. I think they're going to beat everybody. I think we're going to have one of those matchups that are going to drive the people in the state of Wisconsin absolutely bananas.
Oh, it's not going to be good for my mental health.
Come on, KJ.
KJ, you see what I'm wearing, man. You don't see me ragging on UCLA. What are we doing?
Well, first of all, we didn't make the tournament. So, you know, I'm wearing this anyway. I don't know why I got this on anyway. I guess I'm in March Madness mode. But no, but seriously, think about it.
Yeah.
Hepburn, Storr. I mean, geez. Then you got Wall, who's playing some solid basketball, and the big fella down low, man. Like they're talking about on TV today, maybe the game has changed and the emphasis is on perimeter guys and all that. But in a six-game tournament situation, you're going to need your bigs to be bigs, to create a presence, to establish their presence down low so we can go inside out. Now we got open looks so the guys can have that space to knock down shots. So I like the Badgers.
I love that take, KJ. Love hearing you giving my Badgers some pop here, man. But I know you picked them as your tournament dark horse. I saw you tweet it earlier today. And in said tweet, you compared AJ Storr to a Marquette legend, Dwayne Wade. Would you like to elaborate on that at all?
See, I don't know the rules. Look, I spent a little bit of time in Milwaukee. My dad played there. I don't know the rules of Wisconsin and what toes not to step on. I know SC, UCLA stuff. So when I said that, I said it after watching, you know, about 100 of his possessions offensively and just seeing him do a lot of things as far as a mannerisms, body control perspective, a buffness as a guard and just, you know, getting in the lane and being able to move and score. And that's the first person that came to mind. He's a heck of a player. I'm not saying he's as good as D-Wade, nor am I saying that he will have a performance anywhere near D-Wade's performance when he took Marquette to the Final Four. That was one of the greatest performances in the history of college basketball. What I am saying is this kid can play, and he's been playing good as of late going into the tournament.
All right, thanks for joining us, Chris. No, just playing with you.
See y'all later. Chris, I'm out.
No, Chris Johnson of the Here District Podcast on Vux Plus, college basketball analyst as well, joins us here on ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night. You watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball, or I guess that's now over, but the West Coast, you're tapped into that. One of the potential Marquette opponents in the second round, if they're able to get past Western Kentucky, is Colorado. What, if anything, should Marquette fans know about that squad?
Well, you got to know about, first and foremost, KJ Simpson. He's the point guard. He's the head of the machine. He's one of their major leaders. He's a well-rounded player. He reminds me a lot of an old UCLA guard by the name of Earl Watson in the sense that he's unsung, but you look up at the stat sheet, he's got 20-something, you know, 8 rebounds, you know, 7 assists, 3 steals. Also, a guy that has been nursing an ankle injury and is kind of on a limits restriction, but is a highly regarded prospect, Cody Williams. A lot of draft boards have him top 5. Long 6'8", guard, perimeter guy, 3-and-D forward. But then you got Tristan Da Silva, who is a 6'9", small forward that's really done a lot for Colorado this year in terms of carrying a lot of the offensive load on his shoulders. And then down inside, you got Eddie Lampkin and some other guys. Colorado plays a style where they like to control the tempo. They can run with you when they want. I'm not sure they want to run with you guys. It might not make a ton of sense controlling the tempo and trying to slow it down. and get it inside to Lampkin, who's a big body. He's about 280, about 6'10", 6'11". So they like to, you know, kind of get it to him inside, and they kind of surround him with some perimeter guys. So it'd be a good matchup. It'd be a really good matchup. I mean, watching Marquette on film, it helps me understand why the team achieved so much success, why even early in the season they did what they did and then went on those runs in the Big East Conference where, you know, 6-7 games in a row, it was looking like, you know, one of the better teams. And unfortunately, the injury happened. But still, to get to the Big East Championship, I have to say that really impressed me from a standpoint of, I know what it's like to play in the postseason without guys. I know what it takes. We played in a national championship game without our point guard, Tyus Edney, who hurt his wrist in the Final Four game against Oklahoma State. So I understand what it takes and how much it raises the game of everybody else. And for Marquette to get to that championship, that was truly impressive.
No doubt about it, KJ. Now, looking at today, right, there's like this oversaturation, like this overstimulus of basketball today. Two-part for question sure. For you. Who's popped off the page for you in the early slate so far today? And B, what's your setup today, Chris? Do you have multiple TVs going? Are you utilizing the YouTube TV multi-view? Like, what's your setup today, day one of March Madness?
So first, my setup, I have multiple phones and I'm on my computer, so I'm going three screens
multiple
on two phones. Yeah, multiple phones. Always try to keep a
okay, Kevin Gates. I see you, bro. I see you.
You already know. Hey, you already know the deal, Alex. Come on, baby. But no, so I'm catching all the games. And then from today, that stuff that jumped out at me was Duquesne. Duquesne and the way they handled BYU, their guard play. I believe his name is Day-Day. Day-Day Grant was a real solid performer. They're a very interesting team. Well coached by Keith Dambrot. Drew Joyce of LeBron James fame is on the sidelines over there as well. Then also, since we're a Pac-12, I do like the Colorado win, but that was last night. But also, this situation going on with Arizona. Arizona is a weird team. I mean, that's a team that has been super, super talented. They got all the pieces, but they've gone kind of up and down throughout the season. To see them come out against a motivated Long Beach State team, where nationally it may not be a big of a story, but locally, the coach Don Munson had been fired. The team went on a run, made it to the NCAA tournament, and he's coaching against one of his, you know, coaching pupils from his days in Gonzaga. So there was a lot of interest on the West Coast in that matchup. So that was kind of intriguing as well. I still got to catch the rest of and the finish of some of these other games. But, man, what caught you guys' eye? I mean, what games for you jumped out today as far as excitement's concerned?
I think
Duquesne, for sure.
Duquesne was fun, and then the end of the Dayton game was phenomenal as well. Seeing them erase a 17-point deficit in 7 minutes was absolutely crazy. Chris, I want to ask you, I mean, you mentioned it there. You won a national championship at UCLA. You've played in these moments. What are Marquette and Wisconsin players feeling right now, less than 24 hours away from playing the biggest games of their lives to this point? What's the feeling like as you're sitting there in Indianapolis or Brooklyn tonight trying to sleep?
It's a lot of happy, nervous energy. When we were in school, we didn't do video games on the road, but I'm sure these guys have those type of vices that they can get into that will take their mind off the game, whether it be, you know, their extensive playlists on, you know, podcasts. Back then, we had like one CD. So I had to listen to, you know, pick and choose one CD that I was going to listen to. These guys have thousands of songs and libraries of movies. So they
got Gear District. They got Bucks Plus. They got all sorts of stuff.
Please, come on, man. They got everything you want. They can listen to Bob Myers talk about, you know, the Bucks, do Stephen A. Smith impersonations and the whole nine. But guys, on a serious note, guys are locked in. There's a lot at stake now in today's college game in the term of NIL, and how well you play dictates your value. So I think these college guys, and for me, a guy that comes from that era, it's been an adjustment to view the game through a different lens. I don't know if it's happened for you guys. I don't know how old you guys are, but for me, a guy that was born in 75, right, I'm looking at this stuff like, wow, these guys really have to think about and approach NCAA games like they're playing an NBA game or they're playing overseas professionally, to where their value monetarily goes up or down based on their performance. So I think there's a heightened sense of importance and lock-in in these games from guys. I know they're nervous, but here's the thing that the NCAA tournament comes down to. It's you've been scouted. Everybody knows your plays. So offensively, it's how well can you play out of chaotic and scramble-type situations? How can you manufacture buckets via offensive rebound putbacks, early transition opportunities, getting to the foul line. I mean, those are the things that you need to be concerned about offensively. Defensively, it's about playing as one unit. I'm sure some of these teams are meeting, players-only meetings, and trying to get on the same page on their group chats or whatever. However it is that they communicate to lock in together, they're doing it tonight because it's going to take all hands on deck to win six straight games and to, you know, raise that trophy up at the end of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think, to your point, right, obviously NIL and the transfer portal and everything that college athletics has evolved into, that raises the stakes. But so does, in the last 2 weeks, both conference tournaments and now the NCAA tournament. It's do or die time, Chris, right? You win or you go home.
For sure.
And I think the messaging from whether it be Greg Gard or Shaka Smart is, all right, guys, you've worked all year for this, but now it's really do or die, despite whether you're a 2 seed, a 6 seed, or a 16 seed, you win or you go home. I think that elevates, obviously, the pressure as well.
Absolutely. The tournament is still the tournament, and it is still survive in advance, and we want to keep playing deep into March and into April. If you're playing in April, you can feel good about yourself as a program. Speaking specifically to Shaka Smart and Coach Gard, those guys are the type of coaches that put everything into building a team, watching a team mature throughout the course of a season, the different phases of a team. They are process-driven guys, so you know that they're on those dudes' heads about this being their last opportunity to really make a stand.
Chris, great stuff, man. We appreciate you hopping on. Go watch Oakland versus Kentucky. You might be surprised by score right now.
I'm going to troll BBN Chris on Twitter, too.
There you go. I love that. We will watch out for that. Chris Johnson, NCAA champ. You can hear him on Here District on Bucks Plus, and follow him along on Twitter as well for all of the college basketball analysis throughout the NCAA tournament. We'll wrap things up on the other side. Keep talking Marquette. Keep talking Wisconsin. And update you on the score of the Oakland-Kentucky game, a potential opponent for both Wisconsin and Marquette in their region. Surprising stuff happening in the NCAA tournament. This is ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night on 94.5 ESPN.
We're back with more ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night after this on ESPN Wisconsin. You're listening to Is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Night, live from inside the 3rd Street Market Hall on ESPN Wisconsin.
Party of the year happening tomorrow night at the Potawatomi Casino and Resort. Thanalysis live with his brother, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We've got the NBA's greatest bench player of all time, Thanalysis.
Yep.
Thanasis, rather. We've got the greatest big of all time, in my humble opinion.
I love, by the way, that we've just started to refer to him as Thanalysis.
Well, he does give great analysis. He does have a great first name. Thanalysis and Giannis live at Pada. You can get tickets right now on the website, TALiveShow.com. That's his initials, TALiveShow.com. All ages are welcome. Presented by Carbliss. Get to that website. Tickets are $43 for number 43. Thanalysis, we're going to call him. TALiveShow.com is the website. Don't miss out. Show starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. You'll get out just in time to watch some more March action.
That is Alex Stroph. I am Brian Z. We are wrapping things up here on ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night. We will be back with you tomorrow evening from 6 to 7 p.m. recapping the Marquette game and getting ready for the Wisconsin game from 6 to 7 right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We've got an upset brewing in Pittsburgh right now,
oh
Strophy.
Boy.
You see what's going on out there? The Kentucky Wildcats are currently trailing the Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
Horizon League
stand up 23-17 at the under 8 timeout in the first half. Now, this has massive implications for the Marquette Golden Eagles because
massive.
If Oakland, a 14 seed, is able to pull off a first round upset of Kentucky, Marquette, no ifs, no ands, no buts, no excuses, Marquette has to go to the Elite Eight.
They have to.
Right?
They have to.
And I know that sounds crazy. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves in saying that. I know that wild things happen in the NCAA tournament. We're talking about one of them right now with Oakland with a late first half lead over the Kentucky Wildcats.
But Brian, look at it this way, right? We were talking earlier, who has the easier path to the Elite Eight? The Wisconsin Badgers, they play a number one seed in the Sweet 16 at
Correct.
Best. That'd be Houston, the second best team in the country. When you look at Marquette, they start the road of the 15 seed of Western Kentucky. Then they play either a team that's playing for the third time in 6 days or the 7 seed at Florida, who's without their leading rebounder in the second round.
Okay, that's an easy path to the second weekend, the Sweet 16. Then, if you get there, let's say Oakland pulls off this upset. You're either getting 14th seeded Oakland, 6th seeded Texas Tech, who's kind of down this year, might I add, or 11th seeded NC State, who's very hot.
But probably shouldn't be here. They got scorching hot and won 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament to qualify for this tournament.
Exactly.
Right?
So the best team by far of any of the teams we just named are the Marquette Golden Eagles.
This has all of a sudden become the game of the day, the watch of the day for Wisconsin sports fans, particularly in Milwaukee, because if this upset happens, the path to the Final Four, the path to the Elite Eight certainly, has cleared like the Red Sea for the Marquette Golden Eagles if this upset happens.
Now, I ask you, Brian, because you're more of the authority on Marquette hoops, and you're obviously the diehard fan and alum of Marquette University. What does this say about Shaka Smart if he doesn't get to the Elite Eight? Let's say Oakland pulls up the upset.
Nothing.
You think he's still the guy? You think he's still a great coach? No doubts about it.
1,000%. He's a phenomenal basketball coach. He's a phenomenal recruiter. He's a phenomenal grower of players in their time. Look no further than Oso Iguodaro. Oso Iguodaro was a Steve Wojciechowski recruit. His sophomore year, which was Shaka's first year as Marquette head coach, he didn't start. He didn't play much as a sophomore, right, as one of the incumbent guys that kind of came back from a previous regime. They had to bring a transfer in, and Kerr Coiffe, to start on that
that's
team.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
And now Oso Iguodaro is going to be a surefire first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So he's a phenomenal grower of people. He's a perfect marriage for Marquette and what the university represents. If Marquette gets obliterated tomorrow by some divine miracle and Western Kentucky wins, Shaka Smart will come back to Marquette University for as long as they will have him.
I'm not implying that he would be on the hot seat or you'd actually need to fire him. I said that earlier as a joke if they lose the Western Kentucky. Obviously, Shock is a terrific head coach, but the criticism against him has been fair.
Sure.
He's been unable to get back to the second weekend of the tournament since his time at VCU. He's run out of Texas, and he's brought into Marquette because you're right. He is a terrific developer of talent. He's a terrific head coach in the college basketball world, and he's done a great job so far in his couple of years at Marquette when it comes to the NIL and the transfer portal and different things like that. But to your point, developing talent has been his strongest suit, and you've got two pretty much All-American level guys, right? Obviously, Tyler Kolek is one. Oso Iguodaro can be viewed as one, and you have a third great piece in Cam Jones. You got to win tomorrow. You got to win Sunday. And then you just see where the chips fall come Sweet 16.
It would be a disappointment to not get to the second weekend, surely, because of those three guys you just mentioned. I don't think any of them are going to be back next year. This is the last dance for that big three, and it'll end what's been a really golden era, no pun intended, for the Marquette Golden Eagles. That being said, we're in year three of Shaka.
It's early.
He hasn't even gotten his recruits fully acclimated into this system and really fully put his fingerprints on the program, right? So they're getting two top-tier guys that just won a Preps National Championship out of Hudson, Ohio, coming in next year, right? They're going to continue to get better. Shaka is just laying the foundation and the building blocks for this program. So both things can be true. Absolutely, the expectation is to get to the second weekend and potentially beyond based on the outcome of this Oakland-Kentucky game. But also, you can't just be a prisoner of the moment if things don't go perfectly this weekend for Marquette.
Like I said earlier, Brian, you play the games for a reason. It's called March Madness for a reason. Upsets happen. Crazy stuff happens. We've already seen a few of those today, right? A couple of double-digit seeds winning in Oregon and Duquesne earlier in the day, both 11 seeds. And now Oakland, a 14 seed with a 3-point lead on Kentucky, the 3 seed with 6.5 minutes to play in the first half. Okay, I'm just saying, tell me if this is a coinkydink or not.
Hit me.
Oakland, I've heard people say this before. If you beat UW-Milwaukee to get into the tournament, you're going to win your first tournament game. Oakland beating UW-Milwaukee in the Horizon League Championship last week. They now are leading the 3-seeded Kentucky. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a coinkydink.
Are you saying Milwaukee is kind of the Hershey's Kiss going into the tournament? Like,
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the good luck charm. I don't think that's ever happened before in the history of the NCAA tournament, but this year it actually is the case.
I don't want that for the Milwaukee Panthers. I would love a situation next year where somehow we're doing an ESPN Wisconsin's college game night and we're talking about Marquette, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee.
Well, what about Green Bay? You'll leave
Green Bay too. We can get Green Bay in the mix.
I don't want to
stiff arm anything out of there. I'm just saying, two Horizon at-large teams would be kind of difficult.
That'd be sweet, though.
Thank you for hanging out with us this evening live from the 3rd Street Market Hall for ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night. We're back at it tomorrow from 6 to 7, recapping the Marquette game and getting ready for Wisconsin and what we
hope
is.
You worked hard. We'll give you the day off tomorrow.
I appreciate that, buddy. Buy tickets to The Analysis, TALiveShow.com. If you're not here watching hoops, be there watching Giannis and TA at Pato. This has been ESPN Wisconsin's College Game Night on 94.5 ESPN.